Hello everyone, I'm Cassandra Onwalu. I come from a line of badass women. Women with thriving careers, women who run successful businesses, women who follow the rules, break them, and then create new ones to live by. Queens in every sense of the word. They're single, they're married, they're divorced, all running their own races and living their best lives. The African Queen Podcast is a celebration of African women. Our lives, our challenges, and our journeys. So grab a cushion and get inspired. Welcome to another episode of the African Queen Podcast. And I'm your host, Cassandra. Our guest today is Faith Azike. Faith is a business lawyer and a legal brand expert. She's also a certified arbitrator and conciliator, currently serving in Lagos, Nigeria. Passionate about brands and their growth, she's currently the secretary and the client service officer for a renowned brand management company here in Nigeria. Faith has contributed to the success of many events in the eastern part of Nigeria, such as the Final Fest, Hilarious Banquet, amongst others. She's also a compere and has hosted a plethora of events, which has given her a platform to work for the United Nations as a volunteer. Faith, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Guys, Faith has on the nicest kimono. It's red. It reminds me of the Maasai in Kenya, their traditional outfit, the hue of the red she's wearing, and it looks lovely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I'm trying not to blush right now. Thank you so much.
Okay, so Faith, tell us a bit about your background. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Okay, I am from Enugu State, Nigeria. I grew up in Aba, Abia State. Okay. Practically primary school, nursery school. I was born and bred in Aba, Abia State. So people say I'm from two places. Well, you heard I said I'm from Abia State and from Enugu State, kind of thing. But I was born there, so literally I know practically everything about it. But besides that, primary, secondary school was all in Abia State. But I left for university in Enugu State, so I had to leave. So practically Abia State and Enugu State are like my business background check. Okay. Yes.
When I think of Aba, I think of the market.
Yes.
That's pretty much the only thing, which is a good thing because it means there's a strong touristic quality of Abia, of
true.
Aba,
true.
The market. But what is special about Aba, apart from the market, what do you remember most fondly about your childhood in Aba?
I think it's the life. The fact that anybody who grows up in Aba is like, you're born to hustle. You're born to like be so dogged. So, and you take up life differently. So when things, it's just like saying Ajibota and what's the word? Ajibako. So we're all Ajibakos in Aba. Apart from probably those that grew up in very little bit touched part of Aba, but everybody in Aba is Ajibako. So I think what stands out is the vibe the people have, the fact that everybody in Aba is a hustler, you're trying to like make ends meet and all that. Aside the market, I also think the spirit of the people, the fact that everybody cannot wait for weekends. So like they make money from Monday to Friday, then weekends, everybody's like finding somewhere to ball. Really? And unfortunately, we don't have too many places to ball in Aba. So
you go to...
Yes, some people travel as far as Owerri or they go to the bars, but currently that has changed, so thank God. But back then it was just, you know, like find some people, group of people, just go to the bar and drink, or you go to the stadium. Some people, it's just awkward because there wasn't like too many places to go to as a kid. So it's that you're playing in the house or you're chilling with friends. So that's okay. It.
So what three adjectives best describe you?
I would say... courageous.
Okay.
I am. Dauntless. I would say social. Okay. Yes, social has to come in because it doesn't take far too long for me to blend in a particular place. So social, yes.
So we're looking at your profile. Okay. You have, you're a lawyer, you're a brand expert, you're a compere. Okay. So that's a very eclectic mix of things.
True.
So tell me, why did you choose law? Were you one of those very argumentative kids? You know when they say, that girl, she likes arguing, she's going to be a lawyer. I think that was the only criteria for anyone to become a lawyer.
Funny enough, I had this conversation with a friend, yes. So he goes like, why did you become a lawyer? probably you argued as a kid, so your parents thought, I'm like, Omo, calm down. That was not, it was not the situation. I think it was, for my parents, it was between being a doctor and being a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Typical. So, yeah, so when I got to SS1, I discovered that it was not going to be medicine at all. Like, it was not going to be, because in SS1, we did both science and arts. Okay. So SS2, you get to choose whether you're going for science or arts. In SS1, I passed barely by cramming. I was good, but I crammed a whole lot of things. Helium, lithium, boron, barium, and all those 21 elements of chemical thing.
Periodic table.
Yes, I crammed it all, so I knew that if I wanted to be effortless, it wouldn't be definitely medicine. So I went for law because the fact that my parents wanted a lawyer, one, and because that was the only thing in law that made sense to me back then. Because in arts, I mean, that made sense to me, because back then it was just, if you're in arts class, you either wanted to be a lawyer or you wanted to be work with the radio. It wasn't too much back then, and we weren't informed. So law was like the big thing for me. So, well, I like doing big things. So, well, I chose law.
Yeah. You're a business lawyer.
Yes, I am.
Did growing up in Aba influence this choice of law?
I think the truth about it is that we need to do better for our children. Because first of all, I waited for 4 years to get law, to get admission to study law. So I did a whole lot of stuff while waiting. I studied photography while waiting. I did, you know, in Abana, you have to do a whole lot of stuff. I volunteered while waiting as well. But why I say we have to do better is the fact that if we let our children choose certain things that apply to them, and if schools would actually break down these things for them to tell them that if you're in arts classes, you can be other things. It's not just being a lawyer. Probably then it would have been better. For the idea of business law, studying law, I think it turned a level. I wanted to drop out. I wanted to stop because I didn't want it anymore. I didn't want to be a lawyer because my last year of writing JAMB, I had already made up my mind to go study music. Mm-hmm. I told God, is it that you're giving me law? I'm studying music, which is even what I want to do, not even this law, because everybody was already waiting for me to study law. So I had to like, okay, let me just study law for everybody. Mm-hmm. But internally, I never had it enough because back then I volunteered for so many events. I was planning events. I was part of so many organizations, and I was comparing events. So they sounded more like thrilling, something I would rather do, like my blood boys when I do those things. I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. So I picked up the phone and I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I want to drop out. She's like, you mad? You did, Chris. Like, she was like,
You were very bold.
Yes.
You were very bold to call your parents and tell them that.
I think bold should be part of the adjective because I think the first time I ever spoke to a live crowd was in SS1, and I was representing my school, and I was 14. So I think being bold was part of the package when God was creating.
Okay.
So I called her and I'm like, I wanted to drop out. I'm like, are you mad? What is that? After the conversation, I was like, okay, I'm going to stay back, but I'm going to do other things. I'm going to diversify. I'm going to keep comparing. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. So I just continued. Back then in school, is either you wanted to be a civil litigation lawyer, or that is, you come to court, you do objection, my lord, objection overruled. And I knew that was not what I wanted to do. Like, I don't want to be in court. I don't want that. As early in life, I decided that whatever did not make my blood boil, or I didn't have passion for, I wasn't happy doing it, I couldn't do it, because I'm this kind of person, I can't pretend for too long. If I'm going to pretend, it has to be something I'm loving doing, pretending, if it's pretending. I can't pretend for too long. So I have to do something I love. So I chose business law when I came out of, actually, I came out of law school, funny enough. Back then in school, when I got to 400 level, I discovered entertainment law. I discovered it. I'm like, this sounds like so much better. You know, we could do this. So when I got to law school, everybody in law school knew that I was the entertainment law girl. Mm-hmm. So they're like, anything has to do with entertainment law, you should go meet Faith. So when I came out and got into practice, I started discovering that this is not what I wanted to do finally. Mm-hmm. And I started discovering there are so many things you could do with law, like so many things. I knew this earlier, but I did not know how to like base it. Mm-hmm. Because back then in school, you ask a whole lot of people in class and you're like, what do you want to do with law? They're like, they're very scanty, like, we don't know. So I discovered that you could actually relate your passion with law, because a whole lot of people are studying law because of their parents wanted to study law. So now, during the school year, you can find out, okay, this is what I love to do. How can I combine it with what my parents wanted? Because you're already there. A whole lot of people dropped out and pursued their dreams, but I felt like they could have just continued and combined it with their passion. So I chose business law because I noticed that I was very passionate about brands and businesses. I'm very passionate about making sure that they take every legal step to make sure that you don't have complications and whatnot in your business. That is why I chose business.
That's an interesting journey.
Yes, it is.
The journey it took you to finally get to where you are right now. And, you know, it's true that if we had better guidance and counseling units in schools, you know, right from secondary schools and to universities, guiding students, telling them the different options, you know, this is what you can do, it would help a lot of us. I was in the sciences in secondary school, pure sciences, was on my way to becoming a doctor because that was what I thought was the in thing and all. I mean, I passed, I aced my exams and all.
Okay.
But I've always also had this very creative, artsy side of me. And so I wish someone had, you know, guided me then and said, okay, you know, this is what you can do. What are you good at, Cassandra, and all of that. So I totally feel you with, you know, wishing that you were a bit guided from the get-go.
Yes. So you spend like years trying to discover, just like me. You spend it, you were waiting. A junior colleague in school, I think she's in 400 level, she chatted me up and she's like, she's really confused. She doesn't just want to drop her certificate, what she should do. She's like the CEO of a fashion company, as young as she is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's something like fashion law. She's like, wow, there's fashion law? And she didn't know. So I think we should do better. That's all I have to say.
So you're a certified arbitrator. I didn't know you needed a certification for that.
Yes, you do.
I thought, oh, wow. I just assumed if you're a lawyer, that was automatic.
Well, the truth is, if you're a lawyer, you can be an arbitrator, yes. Mm-hmm. But the truth about it, again, is that most lawyers do not have a clue about anything about arbitration and conciliation.
Okay. Do you get? So like special skills, basically.
Yes, special skills. And some people would not really feel comfortable you arbitrating them or you holding a rubber their matter if you're not certified. And you would not. There's something called multi-door courts. Mm-hmm. So in multi-door courts, they look into people who are like certified more than those who are not certified.
Oh.
So getting the certification is really good, apart from the fact that it exposes you to what arbitration and conciliation is. So that's it.
Okay. So you worked on Fino.
Yes, Fino first.
Fino first. Okay, now Fino is one of my favorite musicians, rappers. I think he's an amazing wordsmith.
Yeah, he is.
You know, for someone to be able to do that with the Igbo language, again, it's just, for me, nothing short of magic. Just a miracle. What was it like? How did you even get into that?
As I said, in school. And for anybody who is listening out there, please, if you are in school, especially university, I advise do not only do books. Get out there and do other things. Okay, when I was in school, I diversified, as I said before, because I told you in 300 level I wanted to drop out. In my journey of diversifying and comparing events, I met this lady on Facebook. Yes, I met her on Facebook. I was going for so many events, not the ones I compared, just like events that happen in Enugu, I would go because I wanted them to know who I am, socialize and all that. So I met Jasmine. So Jasmine was in charge of PR for Fino First for the first time he came to Enugu. She was my friend. It was supposed to be like ushers for the event. So we all came together. I didn't want to usher because I felt like I was on the plus side, so they probably might not see me. So I'm like, okay, I got at my girls. I'm like, you guys should come. They have an ushering and all that. So I went with them. So we got there. They're all sitting down. So they did this kind of interview where they're like inside the building, but there's transparent glass so they could see all the girls. We're all sitting down there and they sight, then they point at me. So I did not know. Somebody from inside came in and said, somebody's calling you. I go inside like you've been chosen. Just for what? They're chosen for the ushers for funerals. I'm like, okay. So I got in and I'm like, okay. So I met Jasmine. I'm like, oh yeah, you're working with us. So the first time I ever worked with Fino First was as an usher.
Okay.
But the second time Fino came back, it was now for something bigger because I was now working for the PR team, which was Jasmine. So I now helped work with the publicity, Twitter and whatnot, trying to gather the tickets together and make sure like the tickets were going well, make sure the social media was up. So we were in charge of PR, we're in charge of digital marketing. So everything I had to do with that, we were in charge of it. That was how I contributed to that. I like putting that in my something to do because I feel like it's really a big part of my journey because Fino First was big.
It is.
Being part of it alone, like I'm like, oh, hello. Currently, I'm working with an event company and they reached out to me because of I worked with Fino First. And beautiful, like I learned so much working with them, like so freaking much. Sometimes when I'm talking about events and I'm like, wow, where did that all come from? And that just came from me being part of that project. So, yes.
It's funny how when you take the time to think about the things you've done, you realize how much you've actually done.
Yes, true.
I think as human beings, we should, and especially as women, we should take the time to appreciate our journey because we can beat ourselves down sometimes or downplay our achievement. So just taking that time out to think of, you know, some of the things you've done and you know, the difference you made in people's lives and actually celebrate yourself and be thankful for it, I think it goes a long way.
Yes, it goes a long way. It does.
So, you also worked as a UN volunteer.
Yes, I did. That was in Abia State. We practically had like an event. It was for youths. They collaborated with United Nations. So I hosted the event. So that's it practically. So the volunteer was part of that. So at the end of the event, you get a certification, the fact that you volunteered to work for United Nations to empower the youths. That's it. And I like adding it there because, yeah, it's United Nations.
We're going to play a game.
Okay.
All right. Before that, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What's the dream? What's Faith's dream 5 years from now?
I want to get my master's, but 5 years from now, I'd already gotten that. I pray, own my own firm. I'd love to own my own law firm, and I wouldn't like it to be like the cliche law firm. It's going to literally just be about legal branding, and it's going to be like a coffee shop instead of like a literal firm when you walk in and you're seeing books everywhere. You ain't going to see no books anywhere. You're not going to see that. So it's just a place where people relax and come talk business.
Well, I'll be on the lookout for that.
Yes, you should.
So we're going to play a little game, very short. It's a this or that game.
Okay.
Fino or Zoro?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Fino or Zoro?
Who has it this? Who has it that? Let me get it.
Just say the name.
Okay. Oh,
Fino
oh.
or Zoro?
I'll go for Fino.
Okay, when it comes to comparing, do you prefer weddings or corporate events?
Weddings, small chops, weddings.
Okay, for a date with your boyfriend or your husband, would you prefer to go to a music concert or a fancy restaurant?
Fancy restaurant, nigga.
Really?
Yes, I love to eat.
Okay, so your bucket list, 3 things on your bucket list.
Skydiving. Sorry, sex on the beach.
You want to be careful about that. I hear sand goes into some lady parts and then
we'll take care of
some
it.
Under
we'll take care of it. We'll take.
Okay. Your superpower. What's your one superpower?
I read minds.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How well do you read minds? What am I thinking?
I read minds, not like I have mind. Like I read gestures. I read a room, okay. Kind of thing.
Okay. So who is an African queen to Faith? How would you define an African queen?
I would define an African queen as every African woman. Yes. Because you would say someone should define an African queen and they would be talking about people who have achieved a lot and whatnot. I do not see that. Everybody who is a woman as an African is an African queen. No matter whether you think you've not achieved anything, because a lot of people think that. It's not like they've not really achieved anything. So if you're a woman and you're an African queen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Faith. Thank you. This has been a very, very lively, very crazy episode. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
If you liked this episode, show some love on our website, jamit.fm. You can also follow Faith on Instagram at Cherish Swagat.
Yes.
So that's CHERISHSWAGGART. Yes. That's a very funky Instagram handle.
Don't worry. So, let's not go into why we chose that name.
Okay. You can also follow us on Facebook at the African Queen Podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at Cassie Onwalu. Thank you for listening. Ciao. You can subscribe to the show on jamit.fm or you can download the Jamit FM app on Android or iOS.